content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from AARP, Active Over 50, the UCLA Healthy Years, UCLA Health Newsletter, and maybe something else too, something called Milestones, the Senior Citizens Magazine. So we have a lot to cover, and we're going to get started right away. All right, well, we're going to get started with the UCLA Health Newsletter. Are you tired all the time? I hope not, because you should be dancing, especially during my show. But in case you are, because all of us get that way, these non-sleep-related conditions may be the cause of your fatigue. If you are frequently exhausted during the day, you may suspect a sleep disorder. And while it's a good place to start, there may be some other reasons for your daytime tiredness. Fatigue and sleepiness are two different things, explains clinical psychologist Jennifer Martin, Ph.D., David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. Sleepiness means you're not getting enough good quality sleep. And during the day, you can't keep your eyes open. Fatigue is not having a lot of energy. You can feel that way from having chronic pain, stress, or exercising too much. Anemia, also known as having a low red blood cell count, anemia can cause fatigue, shortness of breath, and headaches. In addition to having lower than normal amounts of red blood cells, the cells may not have enough hemoglobin, an iron-rich protein that helps circulate oxygen around the body. Anemia can be mild or severe, but both should be treated. A blood test can reveal if you are anemic. Common causes are deficiencies in iron, folate or vitamin B12. Foods rich in these nutrients can help correct the problem. The foods you choose. Not eating enough and eating the wrong foods, highly processed and sugary foods such as donuts, won't provide the nutritional fuel you need to power through the day, which can lead to feeling tired. Combining protein with a complex carbohydrate will help you stave off hunger and help keep your body and brain energized. Some patients tell me they get tired after eating certain foods, says Dr. Martin. If you eat something that makes you tired, don't eat it. Likewise, if you eat something that at night that keeps you awake, avoid that food. Underactive thyroid. The thyroid gland makes a hormone that affects metabolism and is involved with how the body converts energy from food. Hypothyroidism is the medical term for an underactive thyroid. When food metabolizes too slowly, the result can be fatigue. The disease is more common among people over 60 and affects women more than men. To diagnose hypothyroidism, a physician will take a full medical history and perform blood tests to check thyroid function and hormone levels. The condition is treatable with medications. Depression. It's commonly thought of as a mental and emotional disorder, but depression also has physical symptoms, including headaches, loss of appetite, and fatigue. Depression is one of the most common disorders in the U.S. and can happen at any age. In older adults, depression can occur in tandem with other serious chronic conditions. Being depressed drains energy. Sometimes the medications used to treat depression may help resolve the fog of depression, but the medication's side effects may include fatigue. Always report any medication side effects to your physician, as there may be other options to try. Urinary tract infections. Urinary tract infections, or UTIs, are among the most common infections. Women are more likely to get them, but men, especially as they get older, are more prone to UTIs as well. While burning and itching upon urination are the most typical symptoms, older adults are more likely to feel tired, shaky, weak, and have muscle aches. Any infection can make people feel tired, says Dr. Martin. It can cause both fatigue and sleepiness. It's also harder to get a good sleep because you may have pain or other symptoms from the infection. And finally, dehydration. Not getting enough fluids can lead to fatigue. While the general rule of thumb has been 8 8-ounce glasses of water per day, it may be different for you. If you sweat a lot, you will need more. Simply hiking outdoors on a hot, humid day can cause you to perspire more than you think. Drink water before such an outing or a hard workout like tennis. Depending on how long you are at the activity, it may help to drink a little during your activity as well. You know you are well hydrated when urine is light in color. There are many other medical conditions, such as heart and lung diseases, diabetes, and fibromyalgia, as well as medications that can cause fatigue. Sometimes trying a different medication or taking it at a different time of day may solve the problem. What you should know: 1. Sleepiness and fatigue are different. 2. Difficult to digest foods, such as those that are high in fat, can drain energy. 3. Infections can cause fatigue. And 4. Some medical conditions can make you feel tired. Okay, and so here are some questions, too, actually. Ask the Doctor, Editor-in-Chief Jonathan Wanagat, MD, PhD, Assistant Professor, Division of Geriatrics, from UCLA. Question: I've heard that exercise can be a natural antidepressant. Is that really true? Answer: yes, it is true. One of the best health choices you can make is to exercise regularly. Not only is exercise a natural antidepressant, it also may protect you against getting depression or having a depressive episode. Physical activity releases endorphins, which are brain chemicals that help you feel good, and they promote nerve cell growth, too. Research has found that exercising for as little as 30 minutes per day can be an effective natural antidepressant. A number of studies have focused on aerobic exercise, but some have shown that resistance training can also work well. Consistency and intensity are also important. A few years ago, researchers from Duke University compared exercise to antidepressant medication. Study participants included 156 older adults with major depressive disorder. One group did aerobic exercise 3 times per week. The second took sertraline, or that is Zoloft. And the third group combined exercise and sertraline. After 16 weeks, there was no difference in the level of depression among the groups, suggesting that both medication and exercise were equally effective. But after 10 months, those who exercised were 50%, that's 50, 50% less likely to be depressed. If you can't exercise for an hour, try 10-minute bursts of exercise throughout the day. If you have trouble consistently exercising, working out with a friend can help you both stick to a program. It's like going to a meeting. I'm going to exercise. All right, the other question. I know there are brain-related changes with age. What are the best things I can do to protect my brain? Answer: studies suggest that even healthy older adults can experience some brain atrophy or shrinkage in brain volume. But not everyone experiences this problem, and researchers are studying them to find out why. New brain cells replace injured and dying ones in a process called neurogenesis. Researchers have linked several activities that can help maintain or increase neurogenesis in older age. One study from Harvard compared meditators and non-meditators and found that those who meditated had more gray matter volume. Meditation requires focus and concentration. The brain is similar to a muscle. Consistent cognitive practices, such as meditation, help it stay in shape for brain health. Regular physical activity, at least 30 minutes per day, most days of the week, has been shown to slow down age-related declines in the brain. The brain has an extensive capillary network, and exercise helps increase blood circulation throughout the body, including the brain, providing a supply of oxygen-rich blood to feed brain cells. Other lifestyle strategies that can boost brain health include getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night, eating a Mediterranean-style diet that is rich in fresh fruits and vegetables and low in saturated fats, and seeking treatment for mood disorders such as depression and anxiety. Treatments for these mood disorders may work in part by stimulating neurogenesis in the brain. Okay, so I have a question for you. How many of you remember how many servings of vegetables you need to have every day? Well, remember the little trick I taught you last time? Vegetables has 10 letters. Vegetable has 9. So 9 to 10 vegetables every day. That is servings of vegetables, which really are about a quarter to a third to maybe half a cup. But vary them. Many different colors and types, and particularly the leafy greens and the cruciferous vegetables, the ones like broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, and Brussels sprouts and such. All right, well, that ends our portion of the UCLA Health Newsletter. And we're going to go on to one more very interesting and important medical issue. This is from AARP, and it is entitled Interview with a Prostate, the Misunderstood Gland, a conversation that addresses cancer risk and urinary problems. AARP, tell us about yourself. Joe's prostate. I'm a prostate, and I live alone, just in front of Joe's rectum. What's to know? AARP, start with the basics. How old are you, and what do you do? Joe's prostate. I'm 68, same as Joe. I work for his reproduction department. I manufacture about a third of the final product, including an ingredient called prostate-specific antigen, or PSA, that prevents sperm from sticking together. Making PSA is a pretty critical part of my job. Other cells in the body can make it too, but nobody churns it out like I do. AARP. And that sounds pretty important. Joe's prostate. If it weren't for me, Joe wouldn't have his two kids, Laura and Sammy. Testicles get all the glory, but they'd be worthless without us prostates. AARP. How has life changed for you over the years? Joe's prostate. I'm not producing as much semen as I used to, but the main change is that I've grown. I've been getting bigger since Joe was about 35. That's normal. Half of us get bigger by age 50. By 70, it's 70%, and so on. You ever hear that a prostate is about the size of a walnut? Well, not me, boss. Now I'm more like a lemon. AARP, so you're swelling. Joe's prostate. No. Swelling is what happens to Joe's ankles when he's injured after playing softball. I ain't injured. I'm enlarged. That said, prostates have been known to swell up, sometimes because of an infection. That's called prostatitis. But it's less common than standard enlargement for older guys like Joe. So, okay, so here's your prostate protectors. Emerging evidence indicates that a proper diet could help keep your gland in safe hands. Eat the greens. In a study of nearly 1,000 men, those who ate the most leafy greens, such as spinach and collards, had a 34% lower risk of developing aggressive prostate cancer. Order the tomato soup. An analysis of several studies found that guys who ate the most tomatoes, especially cooked tomatoes or tomato sauces, had a lower likelihood of developing prostate cancer. Stock up on oranges. Men in the top fifth of fruit consumers, especially citrus fruits, had a small reduction in risk of prostate cancer, according to research from the University of Oxford and elsewhere. Swap out butter for olive oil. Consuming large amounts of saturated fats was linked to a 51% increase in the likelihood of having an aggressive prostate cancer at diagnosis. Order the edamame appetizer. In a large meta-analysis, researchers found that unfermented soy foods, such as soy milk, tofu, and edamame, were associated with a 35% lower cancer risk. All right, back to the interview. AARP, I hear you're causing Joe to have urinary problems. Joe's prostate. Look, it's entirely structural. Urine travels through the urethra, and the urethra passes through me. So the bigger I get, the more it narrows. Sometimes Joe has trouble getting things started. And sometimes he feels like he's not done, even when he is done. But it's not my fault. You should talk to Joe's bladder, too. He's getting weak, man. People always point to the prostate, but the bladder can also play a role, you know. AARP. Is there anything Joe could do to make things better? Joe's prostate. It certainly doesn't help me when Joe sits around all day eating junk food. As he packs on belly fat, I grow and he suffers. And I wish he'd get serious about the gym. 25 minutes a day of vigorous exercise could cut my advanced cancer risk by a lot. And he could cut back on coffee. The caffeine can irritate me and the bladder, and it makes him pee more. AARP. So when did you and Joe start having trouble? Joe's prostate. A few years ago, actually. Joe was probably 65 when he started waking up to pee in the middle of the night. Then he started spending more time in the bathroom, trying to shake out the last drips. And a couple of times, he even dribbled in his pants. If you ever saw his jacket tied around his waist sideways, he was probably hiding a wet spot. That's when he decided to go see the urologist. He gave Joe a urinalysis to make sure he didn't have a urinary tract infection, and he didn't. No prostatitis either. So then the doctor came in from the backside and gave me the old belly rub test, determined I was bigger than ever, and sent Joe home with his pills. We've been doing better since. AARP. What pills? Joe's prostate. They're called alpha blockers, and to be honest, I'm loving them. I've been wound up pretty tight the past few years, and these new meds are helping me and the bladder muscles relax. As a result, I'm not squeezing Joe's urethra so hard, and Joe has better bladder control. AARP. What about surgery? Joe's prostate. The doc said that it's highly unlikely. Medicine has come a long way during the past several years, and there's no reason to slice and dice unless Joe stops responding to his meds. In the worst case, pee could pool up inside Joe's bladder, and that can cause infections or bladder stones. Something like that could require surgery, but again, highly unlikely. AARP, did the doctor say anything about cancer? Joe's prostate, yeah, he did. The doctor didn't feel any bumps that would indicate a tumor, but he did run a blood test that turned up some concerning numbers. Apparently, I've been overshooting my PSA quota, and that can be an indication of cancer. When the doctor delivered the news, I thought, well, Joe, we had a good run. But then the doc says, but sometimes high PSA means nothing at all. That's some test, right? It's a bit of a crapshoot. So your guess is as good as mine whether I got cancer. The doctor said we should come back for another PSA test next year. And if the levels are still going up, he'll consider performing a biopsy to test my tissue. But even if I do have cancer, it looks like there's a good chance I won't need treatment. Prostate cancer usually doesn't progress very quickly. Doctors often choose just to keep a close eye on it. AARP. Well, that's great news. We're hoping to hear things are going well. Joe's prostate. Look, I've lived a relatively quiet life. I don't love that the doctor is medicating me, but all Joe really has to do is to take a daily pill and see a urologist once a year. Losing a few pounds and getting a little exercise would help too. After all I've done for Joe, I think he can do that for me. Clint Carter has written for Men's Health, The Wall Street Journal, Rolling Stone, and more. Our next article is going to be from Active Over 50. It's entitled Wet and Wild on the American River. And that's in Central California. As we whooped and thrust our paddles in the air to celebrate yet another successful run through the roaring rapids, our raft snagged on an underwater rock, sending me flying into the water. I bounced off the river bottom, popped to the surface, and grabbed the rope on the side of the raft before I was pulled out of the water to safety. Since we were quickly approaching the next rapid, I didn't have time to resume my paddling position in the front of the raft and just lay down in the bow. I wish I had a movie camera or a GoPro to capture the action. From my perspective, sprawled on the floor of the raft, looking back, I felt like I was watching one of those action documentaries with water spraying, arms flying, and determined faces screwed into looks of concentration and concern. In just a few seconds, though it seemed an eternity, we were through the rapid. I crawled out of the bottom of the raft and onto the side, grabbed my paddle, braced, and prepared to follow our guide's directions through the next stretch of churning white water. I expected something tamer when I signed up for this trip with my cousin Dan, his 40-something son Matt, and 30-something daughter Alyssa, and myself for what has become an annual family adventure. Dan and I have been taking these trips for several years now. Dan, in his early 70s and a relative newcomer to adventure travel, is dealing with a serious movement-related health issue by testing his limits in paddle rafts on whitewater rivers and kayaks on windy, rolling seas. Matt and Alyssa decided to join us for this year's adventure and share this special experience with their dad. In our deference to our age and his kids' relative lack of adventure experience, I recommended what I thought would be an easy but fun 2-day whitewater rafting trip on the American River in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada Mountains in Central California. The tour operator and my host for the trip was Oars, O-A-R-S, one of the first whitewater rafting companies in North America. Several aspects of the trip made it especially appealing. Easy to get to, easy camping, and easy paddling. The reality was pretty close, save for a couple of significant exceptions. It was easy to get to with the start and end point less than 150 miles from San Francisco Airport, most of it on highways and interstates. Most important, it was also adjacent to a small shopping center where we could buy beer and frozen yogurt. The easy rafting was anything but. One of the attractions of the trip was that all the rafts were paddle rafts. That is, we paddled sometimes frenetically under the direction and verbal commands of our excellent guide. Right, forward two strokes, left, back one stroke, etc. This was definitely a plus. All four of us wanted something more challenging and active than just kicking back while the guide used oars to steer us through the rapids. What I didn't realize is that the South Fork of the American River features one Class 3 rapid after another, usually in rapid, pun intended, succession. At times, it seemed as if we were in one continuous stretch of white water. I have been on trips with bigger rapids, but I have never been on a river with such a density of white water, especially white water where it was up to us to get through the rapids, upright and relatively dry. We usually had just enough time to catch our breath before getting set for the next run. This was the most exciting whitewater rafting I have ever experienced. My biggest takeaway from the trip, besides the rapidly spreading purple bruise over my ample right buttocks, was the family connection. For most of our lives, Dan and I have been pretty close. Our mothers were sisters, our families lived near to each other when we were young, and we are close in age. Neither Dan nor I had brothers, so we grew up like brothers. These adventure trips have been a way to renew that bond over the years. While his kids were growing up, I was like Uncle Tanoose from the old Danny Thomas show, occasionally passing through with tales of distant exotic places like upstate Pennsylvania and California. I thought they were cute. With this trip, I now see them as adults, funny and smart with personalities, opinions, and well-developed senses of humor. Not as cute, though, but given the choice, I prefer the adult version, especially when it means pulling me out of a churning rapid. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anika Gal, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Remember, keep dancing, or go out for a walk, or lift weights. But eat your, how many vegetables? 9 or 10. Yes, that's correct. Make it a great week. See you next time.